Our guest today knows what it's like to live in the high-pressure culture of perfectionism among Hispanic homeschooling moms. The delightful Marisol Rodero is back with us today, and she would like to lovingly say, Hispanic homeschool moms, relax.
Welcome to Homeschooling Saints, the podcast that helps you create the homeschool you love for the people you love. Our host is Lisa Maladnik, a Catholic life coach, TV host, best-selling author, and an instructor at Homeschool Connections.
Before we get started, remember to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, click the bell to join our channel. Hello and welcome. I'm Lisa Maladnik, your host, and Marisol Rodero is here today to help Hispanic homeschool moms relax. Marisol Rodero, a Catholic wife to Ernesto and mother to their five girls, founded Nobis Pacem, an accredited Catholic bilingual curriculum. Its approach is eclectic, blending classical methods, Charlotte Mason principles, and Montessori subjects. Marisol passionately advocates for Catholic homeschooling, meaningful education, and bilingual learning. Holding a JD from ITESM School of Law, she specializes in intellectual property. She has a master's degree in education, focusing on neuroscience at ISE. Marisol is blessed to have a role within the Hispanic Outreach Program at HSLDA, contributing to the support of the Hispanic homeschooling community. And you can find her at nobispachem.com, and you can write to her at info@nobispachem.com, just the way it sounds. Marisol, it is so good to see you again.
It's so good to see you again, Lisa. It's always so lovely to hear you, everything you have to say.
Uh-huh.
I loved our prayer that you had earlier. I was just so moved.
Oh, thank you so much. It is always good to be sisters in the Lord together, to just see what the Lord has for us at any given moment. And so thank you for that. Yeah. If any prayer was good, it was all inspired by him and all to his glory. Thank you. Anyway, thank you for starting us off with such affirmation. We need that. We really do. We need to hear that from each other. And I'd like to just go right into our topic, because I think this is such a really unusual topic. We hear so much that's negative about culture, and there's a lot of division between people. But a lot of times that we can just lovely enter into within our own culture, what we see, you know, and just minister to each other. I think this is one of those kind of sacred places. And you've had a lot of varied experiences of being a Hispanic Catholic homeschooler. So give us some background on why this topic is so important to you.
Yes, it's very important to me because I actually work with Hispanic families, right? So both my parents are from Spain. My husband's Mexican. I lived in Mexico for 4 years with kids and with a husband homeschooling. And it's just a very dear, you know, thing for me to think about the struggles that the Hispanic moms go through, because it has happened to me that I hear all the time, like, I feel like God is calling me to homeschool. I think it's the best idea for my kids, but I literally can't do it. And I see all those perfect moms out there that can, but I can't. And with my Hispanic background, I'm like, wait a minute, what do you mean you can't? And so I feel like Hispanic moms don't know the other side of the coin, you know, and so they see non-Hispanic moms just having it all together because they imagine that they are doing everything that they as Hispanics would do. And they're like, well, they can do it all. I can't. So I'm just going to send them to school. And so I start asking them, right? Because of course, my parents immigrated to Canada when they were married. So I was brought up in a non-Hispanic way, sort of. I got to really know it when I moved to Mexico. And I was like, wait, what is everybody doing? You know, so I asked them and they're like, well, you know, by the time I fold each piece of laundry, like it just takes me an hour to fold each sock and to iron each underwear and to like, and they start telling me all this list of things that they do. And I tell them, you know, we don't do that. Like most people don't do that. Like we just, it's not that we are, you know, superhero moms and we do it all. We just don't do all those things that you're telling me. We just don't do it, you know? And sometimes we tell them, but they don't really believe it until they see it. And so it's just like they have so much pressure. They have so much pressure because they have been brought up thinking that you are not going to be a good wife if you don't do this list of things. You are not a good mom if you do this list of things. And there are several aspects to that, which I'm sure will come up throughout the talk. But just to give you like a summary of those things, food, like the way they cook and how they do things. Cleaning, the amount of cleaning that they think or feel they need to do. But the third, also a very important part of this conversation, is in the Hispanic culture, the more you do everything for your kid, the more dependent your kid is, the better mom you are. And there's this sense of feeling like a bad mom if you raise your kid to be independent, which is a little bit funny considering that some other cultures, we view it as completely opposed, a bit different, you know? So I have several examples that I can talk to you about of how I noticed when I moved down to Mexico with my, I had three girls at the time. And when I moved down to Mexico, like all the little things that we as homeschoolers saw, and we were like, why are they doing this? Like, why are they taking so much time? And then of course, now that I'm back here and I talk to Hispanic moms saying, I can't homeschool. I can't do it all like you. Like, you're perfect. I can't do it. I'm like, yeah, I don't think I do what you think I do, you know? Mm-hmm. So to give you an example, a silly example, I remember when I moved there, there was a Taekwondo studio in front of where I lived. And so I enrolled my kids in Taekwondo because it was a walking distance. And one day my daughter turns around to me and she says, Mom, I wonder why kids in Mexico don't know how to put their own shoes on. And I had never noticed that. Right. So the next time I go, I started looking and there was no kid putting their shoes on. Like, everybody was getting their shoes on by either their nanny or their mom, but even like 10-year-olds or 11-year-olds.
Wow.
And I was just wondering, like, what is this? Like, culturally, what does this mean? And then I got it. I was like, this is to them, this is an act of love. Like, I love my kid. I have to put his shoes on. Otherwise, I'm not being a good mom. Mm. But then what happens? What happens if you always put your kid's shoes on? If you're in a hurry and you need your kid to put her shoes on and you have seven kids and you got to get out of the door, you have to put, you know, each of the kids' shoes on, and then you won't get there on time. And then so just like if you add all those little stresses, it just takes so much time that would obviously make it hard for them to homeschool. So that was just like a tiny brief example to give you an idea of mm-hmm. what they're going through.
Yeah, I love that you stepped into that empathic place of what is she going through? What is it she's reaching for when she does this thing that to an American or Canadian sensibility is just a little detail, just a little practical thing we all do every day. Why would you? But then you see the image of someone stooping to put on someone else's shoes in the light of love.
Exactly.
And now you can understand the depth of the burden.
Exactly, because they feel, for example, to me, I just tell them, I wash socks, I open a drawer, and I just empty the sock bag in the drawer, and I close it. How long does that take me? Like 2 minutes? But the thing is, it's not that it doesn't occur to them. Like, they know they can do that. But then how is my husband going to feel if he opens his drawer and all his socks are all over the place? He's not going to feel loved by me. And so it's hard, but it's like you have to come to a compromise and say, nobody can do it all. And so those are little compromises that you're going to have to sit down. And sometimes it's not even the husband that thinks that. It's just what she thinks her husband will feel, you know? And so it's like, okay, sit down. Let's talk about this. You can't do it all. If you pick homeschooling, you're probably going to have to let other things go. And you can be a good mom in some other ways. You can be a good wife in some other ways. And it's just sort of guiding them. But what has really, really helped them, in my opinion, is just seeing that other families do it differently. Like, and I think when I talked to you about this, I talked about this example with you. I had this friend, and she's from Mexico, and she's a very dear friend of mine. And I always told her, I said, why do you wash your towels and your sheets every single day? Like, Nobody does that. It's just so time consuming. Like, why don't you, like, normal people don't do that. Like, because she was my very good friend, right? I wouldn't say that to her. My very good friend. And I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, no, this is the way it has to be. And so anyway, I told her, and she was always like, oh, Marisol is yapping, like, blah, blah, blah. She's saying this, but she doesn't know it has to be clean. So anyway, fast forward 10 years, Lisa, she moves to Dallas. And she tells me, Marisol, you won't believe this, but I went to a friend's house and she told me that she washes, you know, her sheets once every two or three weeks or even a month. And then I went to another friend's house, same thing, and another friend's house, same thing. And I thought you were crazy. But now I live here and I see that nobody washes their sheets and towels every day. And she said, I feel like a load has been taken off of me. Like, I can, it's okay if I don't do it. So
Marisol, wouldn't it be great if we had a chart that just said all the different tasks that Hispanic moms feel they have to do every day or however frequently, and then just show in different countries and different cultures how often other people do those things? That would give them a reference point to say, oh, there's that American or Canadian or European mom I follow on social media who looks like she has it all together, but she's doing 10% of the housework that I'm doing. Like, yeah. I feel like a visual aid like that would be so liberating.
Yeah, it would. That's a great idea. I'm going to make one. That's a great idea. Because sometimes that's all they need. They need to see what other moms do to feel like liberated. Yes. So, and then they see, for example, they'll say, well, your house is immaculate because I see your pictures of your home every day. And I'm like, well, yeah, but pictures don't show dust, you know?
Doesn't show what's around where you took the picture either. I mean, you can fake it so easily.
Yeah, like if you were here and you passed your finger across, maybe you'd see like this is really dusty and then it's fine and we're happy. And so that is just like my main thing with when a Hispanic homeschooler approaches a non-Hispanic homeschooler and you see that they're like, I don't know. It's a good conversation starter to say, listen, we don't do it all, you know, listen, it's okay if you don't do this or that, or, you know, sometimes we can have takeout. It's okay. Or sometimes we can buy frozen dinner and everybody does it and it's okay. You're not going to be a horrible mom. There will come a time where you will have a lot of time to do that. But when you have, you know, 5, 6, 7 littles and you're homeschooling, it's not really your time to be a chef for a 5-course meal every day.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd like to talk a little bit, and we're going to take a quick sponsor break, but when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about the effect that perfectionism has on the family, the marriage, the homeschool. Like, just look at some of those kind of what it causes in, and even internally for them. You've touched on that extreme tension, but we're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors at Homeschool Connections very briefly. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Walter Crawford.
And I'm Maureen Whitman.
We are the co-founders of homeschoolconnections.com and proud sponsors of the Homeschooling Saints podcast,
which is here to help you homeschool more joyfully, more easily, and more effectively.
We want to thank you for listening.
And we invite you to check out our courses at homeschoolconnections.com.
And now back to our program.
All right. We are back with Marisol Rodero, and we are having just a super fun conversation about Hispanic homeschool moms and trying to get them to relax because they're under cultural pressure to be perfect around food, just so much food preparation, everything having to be home cooked and perfect, around service to the family and housework. And you mentioned three different topic areas. What were those three typical areas of tension for Hispanic moms?
Cooking, cleaning, but also creating an independence in your children. They like to be the mom who their kids are very dependent on them so that they feel like they're being a good mom.
Okay, good. So step us into what are the ripple effects of all this tension, all of this internal worry about never quite being good enough, it sounds like.
Yes. So what happens is, since they know they can't do it all, they compare themselves with people who don't do it all, but they think they do, and they feel less or unworthy or, you know, not as good as. And second, they end up putting their kids in public school if that isn't the route they wanted to take with their kids, just because, and this is the sad part, they'll say, I can't keep up with housework. I can't keep up with food. I'm just going to send my child to public school so I can do all of that in the morning. And to me, like, I wish they could see that your relationship with your child is so much more important than how often you clean so-and-so or how much food or what you did to, I mean, in the end, kids just eat, right? Like, they don't really question how long it took you to make what they eat. And so that is the sad thing. One is when you end up just sending them to public school and spending less time with them, or sometimes they end up, you know, hiring nannies to take care of the kids while they clean or do everything. Or sometimes even the kids miss out on a lot of satisfaction and self-esteem by doing things themselves, because they just feel like, well, my mom always does it for me. I don't know how to do it myself. And if my mom's busy, then I can't. For example, I'm very, very thirsty. And for example, to us, and you know this, like here, we would say, I'm thirsty, go get water. Where in Mexico or Hispanic cultures, it would be, oh, okay, mijito, I'm going to bring you a cup of water. Well, that's all fine when you can. But if you're homeschooling another kid and then your other kid's thirsty and you can't give him water and he doesn't even know how to get water for himself, he's going to feel thirsty and he's going to feel sad and he's going to feel neglected and the mom's going to be suffering. And it's all a thing of saying, like, he can go get his own water, you know, it's fine. Or he can wash his own clothes, because that's another thing. Like, I've talked to moms and they're like, laundry is never ending because I have five kids and I'm doing all these kids' laundries. And I'm like, why are you doing your kids' laundry? They're old enough to do it themselves. And they're like, I'm not going to let my hijito, you know, do their own laundry. And I'm like, well, but you're homeschooling. You either do his laundry or teach him. And he has all this time where he would be, you know, on the couch doing nothing, where he could do his own laundry. You know what I mean?
Right, like, right. Life skills a lot in homeschooling. That sometimes that simple thing, that little skill that you're giving them, you know, like you said, it affects their self-esteem, their sense of worth and contribution to the family. But it sounds like they're, it almost sounds, and I'm maybe taking a little leap here, but I feel like women dress up for other women, women compete with other women, women seek each other's approval. And one of the things that helped me most to take some of the pressure off myself as a homeschool mom was just to sit around and talk with other women. Now, if you're all from the same culture and under the same pressure, right, you're kind of, that might be a feedback loop that is not altogether healthy. But there were times when I heard veteran moms with large families say, you know, these are not the neat house years. My kids are able to help, but we're busy. The emphasis now is on these priorities. And we've talked it over with our husbands. We've established what are the priorities so I can be at peace about that. And that I, and other homeschool moms do not tend to judge each other, at least in this country, as much on whether your house is perfect if they drop by or whatever it is. So, I mean, I feel like we have to be there for each other, because we women can really be hard on each other. And I'm wondering if that's part of it. Because it sounds, you mentioned, you kind of touched on that, that the husband might not be as hard on her as she is on herself.
On herself, exactly. Yes. And so it's just like you said, just embracing them and telling them that I love that idea. The perfect, how did you say it? The clean.
It's just not the time of our lives. It's not the season for the perfect house. And I've heard one mom say, what would you rather have? A perfect home or a happy family? Like, she literally put it that way. And that was eye opening for me. It did help me relax. And I'm not even in that high pressure culture.
Well, yes, because that's another thing. The immaculate home is very important to them, to the point where kids are not allowed to jump on the couch. Kids are not allowed to get anything dirty. And then you end up with kids who don't play in the house because they can't do anything. And sometimes it's easier when they go to school all day and they're never there. But then they take them out of school and they bring them home. And then they're like, don't do this. Don't get that. No, no, no. And it doesn't, you know, like, or you're cleaning the house the whole day and you see a perfect immaculate home. Well, your home will never, how do they say, cleaning the house while having kids inside is like brushing your teeth while you're eating Oreos? You just can't expect the same cleanliness while your kids are living there and eating all day long and homeschooling all day long.
Yes. I remember Maureen Whitman, one of the owners of Homeschool Connections, who's often been on this show, said that they used to have this like 15-minute dash they would all do either before daddy came home or their pastor was going to stop by. And it would be fun. They'd turn on music and they'd just run around like crazy, just to some degree, restoring order so people weren't tripping over things when they came in. But there was a sense of lightheartedness about it, that it's not like we were so worried about others judging us that it had to pass the white glove test, as you said. That it didn't have to be perfectly dust-free furniture. It just had to be comfortable to welcome someone into the home. Tell us some ways that Hispanic moms can learn to relax a little bit more. Where do you see some openings for them? I mean, your friend moved to the United States and started to witness it for herself. That was an eye-opening experience. Are there other ways that we can help them to relax a little bit?
Well, what I tell them is that homeschooling communities just help a lot, because even if you're in another country, if you get with your homeschooling community in your own country, everybody will have your same struggles. And it's really hard when you are talking to your best friend who has her kids in school and has the nanny and the housekeeper and everything, and you talk to her and you're like, I can never keep up. But then if you also have your little group of homeschooling moms living in your same country and saying, we don't do that either, you know, it's okay, that really helps a lot. I feel like, you know, I have a community in Obispachem, and I see them talking about that, and it just, you know, just being able to talk and say, you know, my kids eat a bunch of bananas every day. Mine too. Like, why do they like bananas so much? You know, which is something to really tell non-homeschooling families. You know what I mean? So the thing, like you said, the chart, or making even a poll, like, how often do you guys clean up? Or just saying, you know, after homeschool co-op, we all drive through Whataburger or whatever. And just hearing that, I feel like it's very helpful to have your community. And if you don't have your community in person, which would obviously be the best, at least have an online community of people who think like you. And it's like a group therapy kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think sometimes we really need our husband's support. We need to lay the cards on the table and say, listen, I'm really struggling with perfectionism. I think it's something that's just getting in the way of us having more as a family, or something, you know, like let her say in her own words what it is she's reaching for, sensing that God may be offering, and talk it out with him, draw on those sacramental graces. What are some other ways we can support our Hispanic friends? If we're meeting that other mom and she's really stressed, what can we do?
The thing that I would love non-Hispanic homeschoolers to tell Hispanic homeschoolers is when they're approaching them and, hey, I'm thinking about homeschooling, that they just remind them, oh, just so you know, we don't do it all. Just so you know, our house isn't immaculate. Just so you know, we don't cook 5-course meals every day. Like, even if you just like remind them that it's okay, and you're going to have a little bit or a lot more chaos in your home, but it's going to be wonderful chaos, and it's going to be a happy chaos, and it just lasts for 10, 15 years tops, and then your house will be empty again. And if you really tell those things to a new prospect Hispanic homeschooling, you would really change their outlook on it. You would make them feel welcome. You would take a load off their shoulders. Like, I feel like that's something that can really help them.
I almost feel like now that I know this about the Hispanic culture, I almost want to say to women who are out there generating content for homeschoolers, let's think about other cultures. Let's learn from them and speak into those needs. And this idea of perfectionism, because of social media and avatars and everybody looking so perfect online, we do have this false sense of comparing ourselves to an impossible ideal. And I think our spiritual enemy leverages that against us. He's the accuser. He's always going to want us to feel like we're not good enough. We're not the right mothers or fathers to homeschool because we're inadequate. And then we isolate ourselves because we feel shame that we're inadequate. And of course, that affects the whole family. We want to just kind of be in there for each other and be aware. I'm so grateful to you for making us aware of this cultural thing. So we really want to like reach out to those Hispanic homeschooling moms and just let them know we don't do it all.
We don't do it all, and it's fine. And to help them also with the whole thing with your kids, doing everything for them, I feel like you can tell them, you can pick one or two things that is going to be your thing with your kid. Like if you really like putting his shoes on, for example, that's going to be your thing, but you don't have to do everything. Like just choose the shoes, you know, but he can get his own water. He can go to the bathroom by himself. He can get dressed. Like just pick one thing and show your love through that. And then just take the pressure off of everything else. And you will see, you know, the benefits and the fruits and their little, you know, their mind just, it's like a light bulb turns on and I can do things by myself. And suddenly they're more creative. And so just, you know, sort of those tips.
So good. So good. Doing things for them can just give them the impression that we don't have confidence that they can do those other things. You're right. I love that you said creative, because if a person feels like they have strengths, then they become confident and their creativity has space to kind of play and be full of possibilities. What are some final thoughts you'd like to just leave our audience with today, Marisol? This has just been so good.
Yes, well, there are so many, but I just want to remind everybody of what how wonderful it is to have so many cultures mesh, and that if you're Hispanic, apart from all these practical issues, homeschooling is also a blessing because you can get to teach your kids your own history. You get to teach your kids your own nursery rhymes, the children poems that you read, the folk stories that you read. Like you can incorporate your culture, and it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like just sort of the meshing of all the cultures together is a wonderful thing. So, you know, all of these things, we're saying it in a positive light, we're saying it in an embrace your culture, but then at the same time, if you're mixed, you know, if you're in between cultures, like I was raised, you know, in two different cultures, it's just, it's something that makes you grow and sort of complements each other. It doesn't necessarily have to be one or the other, or it doesn't have to be a good or a bad thing. It can just be sort of like a beautiful soup. Yes. Where you taste here by putting everything together.
Yeah. And by just giving us a little insight into that culture, you've built a bridge. Because now we can empathize with each other. We can start to see, oh, okay, that's a struggle for that person. I can help. And undoubtedly, there will be things that we can learn from each other's cultures just by absorption. I feel like that's one of the great benefits of getting together as homeschoolers, is we do start to absorb. A lot of what we're absorbing is just practical wisdom.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Gosh, Marisol, thank you so much for bringing this forward. We really appreciate it. It's been very, very interesting. Everybody, to find Marisol Rodero and her academy, nobispachem.com. You can find her online, or you can write to her at info@nobispachem.com. And there's a curriculum review of Novus Pacem as well. We're going to put that in the show notes for you. And that's from mommymaestra.com. But we have at least two other topics that we've talked about with you, so I'll throw those in the show notes too, Marisol. It is just great to see you again, and thanks again for making the time.
Thank you so much for this space. Nice talking to you again, Lisa.
Thank you, Marisol. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Have a great day. We're praying for you. Please pray for us too. Bye now. And that's our show for today. Our program is sponsored by homeschoolconnections.com. Be sure to subscribe to Homeschooling Saints and leave us an honest review. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.